So you are now live. All right, let's review a little bit from last week. What did we learn last week?
I think what stuck out to me the most was that what we perceive sometimes as the punishment for sin is not so. Death is actually the punishment for sin, but death in itself is a blessing because that's how we're reunited with God. Just gave me a whole new perspective on that.
Yes, so the blessing of actual blessing of dying. And does anybody remember the three deaths that take place?
Spiritual,
physical, and eternal. Anybody know what the spiritual death means? What is that separation from?
From God.
And separation from God. But what part of death? What a part of us is separated from God?
The body.
Our spirit. Yes, our spirit is. And then we have the physical death, and that is our separation of our body. And then we have the eternal death, which is separation of man's the three parts to a person.
Our soul,
our body, and our spirit. And that is for just a short period of time, and we'll always be able to go back and be reunited with God, or is that...
Forever.
It's forever, right. Once that particular one takes place, it's forever. And we had this, and I want you to notice that we only had it for a week, but there's already four leaves that fell off of it when I brought it out here today. But you can see how this branch has really started to die. But, you know, if I were to break this, you know, this part of it still probably got a little green in it, but it's dead. So I thought that was kind of neat when I brought it out here. And I set it on the floor, and then I saw leaves already fall off of it. I'm like, So probably by week 50, that might not be any leaves left on it. Anything else? Any other comments, questions? Going to leave it probably from here on out. We won't go back and review just every lesson like we've been doing. Maybe every once in a while we'll hit some of those. But let me ask you some questions then to get your mind thinking about some of the other stuff we talked about last week. What does the Bible mean when it says God rested on the seventh day? Did he actually go take a nap?
Everything's complete.
Everything was complete, yep. His work was completely finished, yes. And He stopped creating things. He had stopped creating things. Remember God put Adam in the garden. Where did he put him in the garden?
In the middle.
Center. Well, there's a little trick question to that. That was the trees that he put in the middle of the garden. But yeah, Adam and him were there. He had to show him the trees, but in the middle. And did God go to Adam and say, I want to... put you in this garden, Adam. Will you come with me?
No,
he did not. He did not. He just said, and why can God do that?
Because he's
God. He's God, okay. But I'm looking for something else with that.
He's
in control. He's all powerful, right. He is sovereign. He is over everything. And if Adam ate from the tree of life, what would that have shown about him? So in other words, God said, you may eat of the tree of life. You can eat of all these other trees for food, but if you eat of the tree of life, you'll live forever, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I don't want you to eat. And if Adam would have went and ate of the tree of life, what does that show about Adam?
He was dependent on God.
That he was dependent upon God, yep. That is right, it's that he's dependent upon God. And why didn't God want Adam to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Was it because the fruit was bad? Because he would surely die, right? Yep. Was the fruit bad?
No, it was good.
He said it was good, right. The fruit wasn't bad. He just didn't want to eat of it. Okay? And we talked about those three deaths already, and that if Adam would eat of it, he was going to die those three deaths. The spiritual death, the physical death, and then after physical death, they would be a death of eternal death. In this lesson, we're going to talk about, as you see up there, that God creates a wife for Adam. So I need somebody to get their Bibles out to Genesis 1, 26 through 27. And then we also need someone to have their Bible ready to turn to Genesis 2, 18. And some of this will be a kind of a review since we've already read Genesis 1, 26 through 27, but we need to read that to keep going forward. So who's got it?
I do. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, all the earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth." So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female.
Okay. So God created him. This is a description of that, that God created him male and female. And we are created in the image of God. And so will somebody describe to me how God created Adam?
Out of the dust of the earth.
Out of the dust of the earth. And
yes.
And so
we
it
were
was
the only ones to do that because everybody else was spoken into existence.
Okay, yep. And he basically created Adam with, how would it look like to you guys? In your mind, how does it look like to create, how God created Adam? I kind of told you how I thought it was, but
he
put formed
some effort
it.
Into it.
Huh?
He put some effort.
He put some effort into it, and that makes us
special.
Or the finest creation, magnum opus, that word, Latin word for finest work. And so, someone grab Genesis 2:7.
And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being.
Yes, so that another key part to him making man out of the dust of the ground was that God himself breathed into his nostrils or into his nose and gave him life. And I put that YouTube clip of the little baby coming out of the sack. If you saw that, it's pretty cool. And when the Spirit of God goes into man. Any thoughts, questions about that as we're at that point? From that, before we go on here to Genesis 2:18? Okay. Who's got Genesis 2:18?
I do. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper who is just right for him."
Okay. So God says a couple things here in this verse. What does he say? Okay, so God made the decision again not to go to Adam and say, "Adam, would you like someone to be there with you in the garden?" No, he didn't. He went and said, "Adam, I'm making a decision here, and I see that it's good for man not to be alone." So this is a very significant thing that God set this up. And what else is in the verse?
He was going to have a helper.
He's going to help her? Okay. And just right for him, someone that was going to be right there with him. What does that tell you about God? In his relationship with Adam.
Didn't want to do it alone.
Didn't want to do it alone.
He's still looking after him.
He's still looking after him. Would you say that God loved Adam because he thought of that decision? Would you say that God had some wisdom behind that?
He had a plan
in motion. Okay. What was one of the purposes that God had, the job, I would say another word, or the role that he had given to Adam? What was he supposed to do?
Look over
everything.
Everything.
He was given responsibility to manage, basically a manager of the things that God had created. He was supposed to go out and oversee that, right? And give it his all. All right, let's read Genesis 1, 28. We already read verse 27. Let's read verse 28.
God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground."
Okay, so he kind of tells him what? Look, I've given you everything here. Makes him, tells him to go out and rule over it. And one question I didn't ask here back, so I'm going to go back just a little bit, is can someone just tell me why did God create a woman? Say what?
A companion.
A companion? Okay. Mm-hmm. I want you to think about that question, why? And so we go on through here. So God told Adam that he's going to rule everything, correct? I'm kind of going through all my things here, that clicking on it, about the timeline where Adam and Eve are. Scroll through here real quick. All right. Let's go to Genesis 2, 19 through 20, and it says this. So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky. Now, he brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And the man chose a name for each one. He gave names to all the livestock, all the birds of the sky, and all the wild animals. But still there was no helper just right for him. Now I'm using a different translation there, so wording may be a little different than what you're reading. What was the responsibility, one of the responsibilities that Adam had from God?
To take care of everything.
To take care of everything?
Name them.
Name them. So could some of you start naming some animals that Adam had to name?
Hippo.
Cows, probably.
Cows?
Giraffe.
Now, we have all kinds of different cows. What kind of cows do you have, Lynn? What are those?
Angus.
Primarily Angus?
Angus, Simmental, and Kobe.
Okay, so he's got three lines of cows.
Wow.
So was Adam naming Angus, Kobe, and at that time?
No.
I don't think so.
No, Adam just had one cow.
He might have had just one cow to name. He might have had, I don't know if you would have known what a Jersey cow is or, you know, these type of things. Same thing with horses. But he had to name these animals, right? He had to name them. And that was a great responsibility for him.
And that just goes back to kind of confirm what we were talking about last week, is that Adam was created with knowledge. He was not, like, an empty mind.
Yep. Yeah, so exactly, because we talked about that. Well, mm-hmm. how did Adam know what was good and evil, how our death is like? You know, how is he going to know that without ever experiencing it, because there was no death on the earth? So, yeah, God had given Adam an infinite mind, a mind that was, maybe not infinite is the wrong word, but a mind that was very, very intelligent. And
why didn't God name the
This is just a guess in the dark, because I'm not really smarter than you are, but it gives them some ownership. you know.
I don't really have an answer. I'm just sort of sitting here thinking about that. But yeah, but there's more.
Well, I mean, God gave them dominance over all the living creatures, the fish, the birds, and everything. Why not name them? You know, if he'd give them that, you know, prestige to rule over them.
Yeah.
Why not name them?
Yeah. He could have named them when he made them.
God could have, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. But he decided not. He knows why. Except that he did give Adam dominion over everything. And maybe in that respect he wanted Adam to name the animals. But like when you participate in anything, I don't know, I'm thinking like
the children.
But then you feel this connection or this, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
My thought was going to where what it must have done for Adam. Yeah, Lord, what you're saying is true, ownership, but also a sense of purpose in life, a sense of I'm not just here to exist. There's a task here. There's something to do.
kids that work is the result of sin, you're missing the boat.
Yeah.
Work was put in place before sin happened.
Yeah. Because he told them to take care of the garden.
Right.
And he told them to.
So the intent that what, you know, what's
work
gets
hard.
What I keep telling my kids is that you learn to work and you will learn to have purpose in life. Because that's where we find our purpose. That's why retired people just lose their purpose.
Right.
But
other kind of work.
But you know, it's true that when people just stop doing everything and they just sit around all the time,
that is wrong.
They lose their purpose.
Yeah,
they lose
wrong.
A sense of value. Yeah. So we.
You could say that after sin, work got a lot harder.
Lesson 10.
Well,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a different type of work.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think the word sweat is mentioned until after.
Right.
One thing you can retire from is the Lord's work.
That's true.
See, there's always something for us to do when it comes to the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't retire from that.
Yep. Well, picture Adam, though, here with that question that Lynn is asking here with that. Picture Adam. Now, I don't know how this worked, but I'm going back to an old Bible story, picture Bible story book that describes this, and I'm remembering this from as a kid, so my picture might be a little distorted, but there's this picture of Adam staying in the garden. And these animals are in line coming up to Adam. Now, I don't know if that's how it happened. If Adam stood there and the animals walked up to Adam and said, "You're a giraffe," and went on. And then he came to the hippo and, "Here, you're a hippo," and he went on. I don't know if that's the picture there. Or if Adam walked through the garden throughout God's creation and he saw, "I saw a butterfly," and "You're a butterfly." But picture this thing that Adam is seeing these animals. And at the end of verse 20, it says this, but there was, after he was all done, there still was not a helper just right for him. So you have to picture that Adam, I don't know if he saw his reflection in a pool of water, or if he could picture what his face looked like. You know, he didn't have, maybe, you know, there was no mirrors back then, or maybe God saw him. But God, here he is, a man created in God's image, and he sees all these animals, and he doesn't see any one of those animals that looks anything like him. Now, Adam had a mind, he had emotions, he had all these things, and maybe he's questioning God. God, there's nobody like me out here. I see all these animals, I named them all, but I don't see any of them that looks like me. I don't know. I'm just thinking this through, that God's sitting there, if he's saying this. I don't know, did he, in his communication with God, when God came down and said, "Wow, that was great, naming all those animals, Adam." And Adam said, "Yeah, but God, I don't see any like me." And he would have seen male and female animals.
That's correct.
Correct?
But
okay, so, go ahead.
How would he have known which is male and female if he didn't know himself?
How would he have known if he was male and female if he didn't know himself?
Why wouldn't he know himself?
Because he was only one kind.
He says,
"Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I'm not sure that. I don't know why that wouldn't be. Just because I am not a fish, I know how fish operate."
Yeah, but how would you know if another animal was male or female, if all he knew was male?
So what you're raising the question is here, are you asking, is your question much deeper this than in asking that, did Adam name these animals based off of what I described to you, was naming these animals after Eve had been created or before Eve had been created?
Well, I don't know. I just was curious if he even knew there was such thing as male and female until Eve.
He wouldn't have known that there was a male. He would have not understood male and female humans. But in the animal world, that's the way it was.
But how do you know?
Well, because God did tell the animals when he created them, he made them to be fruitful and multiply. So there would have been male and female animals on the earth during that time. And we don't know after creation how long all this took place. It's not there's not a timeline on that timeline that we had during the creation. We know it took 6 days to create the world, and the seventh day God rested. But after that, he says he planted a garden. Did God take 3 weeks? Did he take 2 weeks? Did he take a year in between that garden to see all that? That's not something that's given to us here. I don't know, Lynn, if in your previous classes, did that question come up where you would have like a timeline of how long it was afterwards that the garden was, or?
If I can remember what it was like back then, I'm just not quite that good.
Okay. But we do have this, okay? And the role that Adam had was over these animals was to do what? We kind of started to hit on that.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if we talked about this yet. Just sort of hit me here. Matt and Kevin, what you're saying, you're assuming that Adam did not have knowledge.
I don't know if he knew.
Right. Yeah, you're asking the question, did he have knowledge? One thing we need to understand is that Adam had a perfect mind.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying perfect as in all-knowing, but his mind was perfect. At times I think I have a perfect mind. Let me put it this way. When I was a teenager, I thought I had a perfect mind. Okay?
Yeah.
But that's something we're not able to wrap our brains around, what it must have been like to have a perfect mind. And the creativity that it took to name animals, that was no small task.
Mm-hmm.
And, I've always sort of wondered, what in the world, how did he ever come up with these names?
Well, I mean, God spent a lot of time with Adam in the garden, did he not? I mean, they had a lot of chats. I mean, how awesome can that be?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
To get that one-on-one attention.
Well, it doesn't say Adam named the trees there, but who came up with the name that this has got to be a holly tree?
A botanist.
A botanist.
Somebody along the line. Okay, and they did that through a series of process probably and testing and who knows what, how in the world this guy, I don't know how a holly tree came to be named a holly tree. But
there's a history behind that. It really fits in. It was this guy whose wife was just really jabbing him and being a prickly thorn in his side when he discovered this tree, and then he just called it. His wife's name was Holly.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, she was an American, too, so it was an American Holly.
After I get done sharing with you about what I have come to learn is one of the neatest things about God. Lynn may want to pull that one back out. But to think about that Adam had a mind that was, I mean, to be able to name the animals, his mind was sharp. It was, I mean, I can't imagine that. My mind is not perfect.
So, I'm kind of playing a little devil's advocate. I believe he has a perfect mind. But I also wonder, how can a perfect mind be tempted to imperfection?
Nine.
That's in lesson nine. Vince kind of asked that question on Facebook today, too.
I believe it. It's something I'm sitting here wondering.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's good questions. So, why wasn't an animal able to be created, or why wasn't an animal that was created by God be a companion for Adam. Wasn't in his likeness. What do you mean by not his likeness? Physical feature on the outside likeness, or much intelligence? Wait a minute. Now I know. I come up and got up there up out of bed the other morning. I go downstairs and we got these little baby chickens that my kids are raising. They're just little tiny things, and the gates open, and two little chicks are outside the kennel, or outside the little cage. Now, that was pretty smart for them to figure out how the kids were opening the lever and open it up.
No,
I'm assuming that they did that.
Could they get their own food and water?
No, okay.
Shelter. He didn't breathe.
They were created, right? He spoke them into existence. What else are they missing?
Spirits.
Okay. Well, we know animals have of a soul because they have emotion, right? They you get a dog comes up and is your friend no matter how angry you yell, how much you yell. Right?
Yes.
He breathed a breath into him. Did he take them and form them out of the dust of the ground and make him in the image of God? Right. You were going to say something, Kevin?
I was just going to say they don't have a relationship with God.
They didn't have a relationship with God at that time? No?
But yet in 19 it says the Lord God formed out of the ground all the wild animals.
I knew that question was going to come up here. And I was going to say, that's Lynn's to answer.
Right. That's kind of misometer, you know.
You get two different things there. You're having a verse. And I don't know what sort of translation you have.
NIV.
Yeah. So that would be a more of a literal translation. Mine's a paraphrase of my version here. So when I read that, I'm like, oh, someone's going to answer as going to ask that question.
Right.
Chapter 2, what you're hearing here, is a much more detailed version of what took place in creation, if I would be saying that correctly. Chapter 1 is a quick, brief overview of, hey, day 1 was this, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6, and day 7. What took place on there. We know that God did not describe man like he did it out of the dust of the ground. What happens to bones when they die? When something dies, what happens to the bones? Right, they get buried in the yard, the dogs get them, but eventually the bones go back to the ground, okay? They go back to the dust of the ground. And there's a reason why man is, can I say this? How many of you here really like to get out into creation, into the outside, outdoors, and do things with the dirt and the ground and plants? And yeah, we may not like the work that goes along with that, but we enjoy it. We enjoy looking at the creation outside. There's something with that when God formed man out of the ground, there's an affinity or a connection with man and the dirt and the ground. And how to answer this question with that question is that he said he formed them out of the dust of the ground, or formed them from the ground, all the wild animals. I don't know if I can give you a 100% answer tonight on that.
Okay.
I saw that in there, and I'm like, you know, I knew someone was going to ask that question. Any other thoughts on that? Maybe someone else has done some study or research or had some comments about that.
So let's narrow down what the where you're seeing the discrepancy and what we've been saying.
They say ground, though, they didn't say dust.
But then the argument for somebody would be, well, isn't there dust in the ground?
Yeah.
So what's the problem
with this verse?
In chapter 1, it says God said, let there be the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, every living creature on earth. He said he spoke it into existence. And then here in this, and I would have to look at what that in the original Hebrew, what that word formed means.
Okay.
And part of that is because our translations over the years that come down to our language, you have people who have here, and I'm going to share with you when we get to the word helper and helpmeet what the original Hebrew language was there. But when you think about when you think about this, I would have to go back and look at that and see,
okay,
is it actual, mean that God actually sat there and molded the
out of the ground. Right.
I don't believe so. I think it's probably going to refer to more, much more that there is a connection to the dirt. When, like when they die, their bones go back to the dirt and the dust. They're going to go back to that. That would be my understanding of that, but I'd have to check that out.
Okay.
I don't know. And so that's the thought behind that, Lynn, I think, is what they're saying. In chapter 1, it says that God spoke it, and then here it's saying that, so the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky. And then he brings them to Adam and says, name
it. Verse 24, look at verse 24 in chapter 1. It said, let the land produce living creatures.
Okay.
Great, yeah.
So he spoke, and the animals came out of the ground as well.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, have
I think we missed
the movie?
It. I think we've seen the movie.
Wow.
I mean, doesn't the movie have it that way? Like,
good
shot,
creation. I don't know that we read that verse, though. I mean, did we read that verse there?
I don't know.
That makes more sense. That makes more sense that he spoke and animals came out of the dust of the ground. Birds.
But, yeah.
But with man, he formed him with his hands. And then
I think maybe the problem is a little bit the way we've been saying it, is we've been saying God spoke and poof,
right,
it appeared.
Right.
Where I think science would support that we came, that God could have created matter and created from that matter different animals.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be, and well, obviously he created dirt, and then from that dirt he created animals, and they go back to it.
Go back to the dirt, yeah.
So, yeah.
The same thing with us, then.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but the difference is in the way it gives a little different picture in how he created man. And I think it says, and I was trying to find it here. What verse does it say that?
The way he created man?
Yeah.
That would be verse 7 of chapter 2. This says, then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person.
Right, right. So, yeah, we're a victim a little bit of over-dramatization here. I would admit that, because I think I would tend to like to paint the picture of God taking his hands and forming and shaping and molding because of the made in God's image. The attention that God gave, it was different than man.
Yeah,
and that could have communicated a wrong impression.
Picture. Yeah,
that. And,
sorry if I did that.
Well, no, I'm in on that too. I think it's a really good question.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a really good comment catch. Really. But the reality is, we don't know exactly how God did it.
But, other than text.
Yeah.
What about fish?
It did not mention fish from the ground. It is
water came from the ground, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when he if you go back to when he created the fish, he said, let the water swarm with fish and other life. So
just in the water.
Mm-hmm. So again, it could be that thing where the fish, when he spoke that,
came
out of the bottom of the ocean, which is, there is dirt down there.
And
mud,
the birds the same way. I mean, it says
the birds of the sky and the animals,
right,
came from the dust of the ground, or the ground here.
I just want to say, guys, never take someone's teaching as absolute truth.
Yeah.
This book is absolute truth. And that's, we go after it and we try and understand it. But we need to constantly be wrestling. What's truth? What is a, and some of this stuff, it's fun to talk about in class, but it's not earth-shattering. I mean, it's not the end of the world. It's we don't know. But yeah. So
yeah, don't just say, well, Matt said this, so I'm believing that. Because I am a human being and I make plenty of mistakes. So okay. So the reason that, to go back to that question, the reason that an animal could not be a suitable companion for Adam was because the animal was not created in the image of God. Right? So they were not, they did not have the same, they don't have the Spirit of God breathed into them like man does. So that leads us to point five. And God creates a companion for Adam. And so someone grab verses 21 and 22 of Genesis 2.
And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord had taken from man he made into a woman.
Ah. So, what does this describe about God again? He's awesome.
He's awesome.
He's awesome.
Good surgeon.
He's a good surgeon.
Yeah.
He put more effort into this as well.
Huh?
He put more effort into this as well.
Ah, he put more effort into this as well. Yep. He just didn't say, okay, he took his time. He caused Adam to do what? Fall asleep. Man, the greatest anesthesia, the first anesthesia in the world, right here. I mean, he didn't have nothing that stuck over his mouth and caused him with, like we do in doctors today. No, he caused him to fall asleep. And sleep is a blessing. It is something, it's a gift. If you're blessed with the ability to be able to just sleep all the time straight through and not hear a sound, that's a gift. But here he is, he caused him to fall asleep. And then he goes and he uses what part of the man's body?
Rib.
Now, rib. Can I step out of this a little bit and go for a different angle from this a little bit than what the lesson is here? What's the ribs do?
It's a shield.
Ah, they protect your vital organs. There is, what's that?
It's a shield around your heart.
Ah, it's a shield around your heart and your lungs and everything else. Okay, so I want you to hold that thought about protection for a minute, okay? And then I want you to think about this here. I don't know how many of you like to do research on the body, the parts of the body and things like that, but I remember reading somewhere once that doctors have removed a specific rib in a person's body and it will regrow. Okay? So there is medical... You can Google that. Now, I'm going by Google, so maybe Google's lying to me, but...
As long as it's not Wikipedia.
Huh?
As long as it's not the Wikipedia.
Wikipedia.
Oh, yeah, I don't know about that.
I can't pronounce it right. Yeah.
So, when you think about that, that if that's true, I'm staying stepping aside from the class here with this a little bit. If that is true, then God knew that. What does that tell you about God? Again, that God knew everything he created. So, if that is a true statement that there is a rib that can come out, that doctors can remove and it'll regrow itself.
Well, isn't that the reason that men have less ribs than women?
That's what I was going to say.
You always were told that.
Yes.
Do you believe that?
Today, though?
I don't know.
I so go home tonight and count your ribs. That's not true. Many women have the same amount of ribs. What? So I can see everybody going home tonight. I am missing a rib on this side. Call the doctor. No. But you think about that God there, and he did this. So he created Eve with the same mind, will, and emotions that Adam had. And the reason I hammered in on the protection part, because as we go through here a little bit, when God says that he created man a helper, when you think in our culture today of the word helper, or when you think of the word helper, what does that come to your what
someone
comes to
your
mind?
Someone
to make your workload easier for yourself. So someone that comes and takes your workload off of you, right? What else comes in your mind?
Servant.
Huh?
Servant.
A servant. Okay.
Equal.
Okay.
I don't know.
Unequal.
Oh, unequal. You said? Did you say unequal?
Equal.
You said equal.
And then they can, since it's a helper, then they should be able to do the same things that he did.
Okay. Should be able to do the same thing he did. Okay.
Someone you can go to.
Someone you can what?
Go to.
Go to. Okay.
I would actually, when I think of a helper, I think of someone underneath.
Right.
It's interesting.
Yep. Right.
You're saying equal. I would actually, in my mind, I think of a helper as someone lower than me.
Yeah.
But what would you say in the case where if somebody of a higher stature goes and helps somebody of a lower stature, even though they're of a lower stature in the world's mind, aren't they still a helper?
Could be, yeah. I could still be helping somebody even if they're helping when you say lower or higher stature type thing. But you think
what
you
then would that be?
What does that mean?
What then would that be?
Oh, I don't know. Still helping, you're still serving.
That's still like a helper, even if you're higher stature, you're still helping.
Look at all the different answers we had here in the different views of this. And I'm saying this for a reason, because when God created Eve for Adam, I just learned this, I don't know, honey, how long has it been?
Not long enough.
I just learned in the original Hebrew language where this was written, they used to use picture graphs and pictures of words. So when they put this together, when this was written, the word helper, we often associate with, and in our culture today, in our society, you can go and do research on this, so you can find us where we get the feminist movement, we get these movements because two same jobs, a woman in that same job gets paid less than this, and you hear that, and you go to other cultures around the world where women are forced to do certain things that men have freedom to do. They can't drive cars, they can't do that.
That's correct. Yeah.
Is that God's intention when he created Adam and Eve?
No.
It was not.
Yeah.
When Eve came along, and I won't be able to finish this, you won't be able to see what I'm going to share with you until lesson 9. But when God created Eve here, and he said, I'm going to make man a helper. What he was saying was that the lady, his wife, that he was going to give to Adam, was someone who would help him understand who the enemy was. Who was a revealer of an enemy inside a man. Now, I want you to think about that for a little bit, ladies. Because as this story unfolds, you'll begin to see. And
now help me understand. I missed the link there. How did you come to that conclusion?
In the original Hebrew language, the word helper that's used, where we get the word helper or help meet from, in some translations uses, it literally means the revealer of the enemy.
Okay.
That's what that word. So when the writers put that down, when they wrote that out, we see the word helper. But what they actually meant behind that was that this was the word helper that they used there was someone who would reveal the enemy.
And that,
okay?
That really does happen. That happens in true life.
Okay?
As a wife, God gives the gift of discernment to a wife at times, and she can reveal something to her husband that he shouldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really believe that's true. That's a true
meaning. How many of you wives that are here tonight would say that you see things in your husband that you may have never have really said anything to him about because of how he may respond to you, but you see something in him that you wish you would say, and if you revealed it to him, you would say it would help him as a husband, or help him in his walk, or help him in his life. Don't have to raise your hands to that, but because if your husband's sitting next to you, my wife will be here, and she will tell you, and you can talk to her afterwards, she would tell you that there are things that she would have seen in me, but was afraid to come to me and tell me about them because of how I would have responded to her. Now, that goes into a whole lot of other things. But ladies, do you see how, again, the finest creation, the magnum opus that God did when he created a woman? Do you see that in that thing, in the word, or in the word helper? Does that help you with some of your thought process of that? Any comments, too? I mean, feel free to expound on that.
Well, the one thing we haven't touched on, too, is because Adam was by himself, he was naming the animals and the fishes, and they were male and female. God said, well, he doesn't have female to be fruitful and multiply on that aspect,
yep,
too. So,
yep, absolutely. So, this was the first... You got to think about this too in a little bit. Adam's. Well, let's read verse 23 and 24.
chapter
2, verse 23 and 24.
And Adam said, "This is now bones of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called a woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh."
Okay. So, I love that translation, but I'm going to read here how it says it here in this, and again, this is a paraphrase / translation. It's not every verse is not literal. So here's how it goes. It's a two words, and it says, "At last!" with a big exclamation point after it. So you can just see Adam coming, waking up from his sleep that God, waking up, getting off the anesthesia that God put on him. And he wakes up and, wow! At last! Someone like me! I don't know if that's how it was. I don't know. But you have to think about that. And then he says, he doesn't just say that. And he goes, then he says, what? He realizes what happened. He realizes something. There's a reason why he had to realize. He had to be known that he was missing something. Or how else would he know that it came from his bone? Unless God sat there and said, "No, Adam, I put you to sleep," and God may have done that. But he recognizes that there's something missing. Hey, it came from my bone. God created her from me. Flesh of my flesh. She's got flesh just like me. And he says this because she was taken from man. What does that say? I mean, what's going through your mind when you read that? Before we go to verse 24.
To me, when I think of that, it's almost as if he created them to be one.
Ah, created them to be one.
As opposed to separate. Even though he got...
created them to be one versus separate. Then we have the first marriage that takes place. Verse 24. In men, I will tell you something else. This is something else. There's a very key point in this verse. Something I wished I would have learned probably a little earlier on when I got married. But But it explains here in this verse marriage. It says, "Man." This explains why man leaves his father and his mother and is joined unto his wife. It's very, very important. There's a very, very important phrase in that verse. Who does God tell to leave their father and mother?
Right.
He tells the man.
Right.
He didn't tell the woman right. to leave their father and mother. And so oftentimes, we as men, we're driven, we have these dreams, we have these plans and things like that that we do, and our wives follow us. They follow us. And so that can pull them away from their parents. It pulls them away from their father and mother. It pulls them away from contact a lot of times. And there's a reason why God says to the man to leave their father and mother. Think about that.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Why is it not specified in here that it's like, where did the word marriage come about in the Bible?
Very good question. I don't know. Anybody have any thoughts on that? Because it's not using the word marriage here.
Yeah, that's why I was just kind of curious.
What was your word? Mine was united, but his is marriage.
He said marriage. He said uses the word marriage. He
right.
said the word marriage isn't mentioned in here, so where did marriage come from? You know, where are you?
I'm sure they eventually down the road, you know, establish what is this supposed to be, and you know, it was identified as its marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just kind of curious here. Why didn't I guess that's a question we can't really answer. So I was gonna say why didn't God title this as marriage in this passage?
I think he does.
Well, you have to see what the word cleave means.
The word cleave.
Where it says, and shall cleave unto its wife.
Mm-hmm.
And mine says united.
United.
Mine says hold fast.
Right.
Hold fast, right.
Mm-hmm.
Bond, yep.
Does the word marriage come up in the Bible?
I think
it does somewhere.
I know.
Weddings mentioned
the
Bible.
Well, I think part of it is Kevin's question back or his statement earlier of what God intended. God intended for marriage or the union of marriage, which is to be one. Is not to be, in essence, we're separate bodies, physical bodies, we're separate. But one of the things is that man and woman would become one. Wives, how many of you that have been married for many years can tell what your husband's thinking? Or say, I know what you're going to do in this response.
Vice versa.
Right?
Right. Sometimes it's scary because when you've been with somebody for so long, they paraphrase. Well, you start thinking like them and start doing things the same.
Yeah. And so you know their reaction. You know their, and that's part of again being one. In this union, this marriage here, there was perfection. Okay, we're not perfect now, but this was perfect. So this union was a perfect union. Why was Eve created for Adam? What, to take the helper part out, what's some of the other things that Adam, why were Adam and Eve created? What were they supposed to do?
Multiply.
They were supposed to be fruitful and multiply. Why? Just because we go have children and we're supposed to continue just having children and children and children? What's the reason behind this? What was some of the reason? What was the intentional purpose that God placed man on the earth for? One of the things.
To rule over it.
To rule over it, to manage it. Well, as we know our earth today, it's pretty big. I don't know how many thousands of miles around it. So Adam couldn't cover the entire earth by himself. Eve, Adam and Eve couldn't cover it by themselves. So one of the foundational things to marriage is that they are fruitful and they multiply. They have children. They have offspring that go on to continue to carry out the plan and the purpose that God had intended. And we're not to the point yet where we've talked about children here, but that's one of the reasons why we have children today. Question? Someone had their hands raised? Okay. The last point in this lesson is that Adam and Eve, this was a perfect union. So they were not embarrassed by nakedness. They were naked. It was perfect. Now, we can't understand what that's like. But they had no shame.
And why not? The animals didn't.
Right.
I mean, no, nothing else did.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Huh?
Our animal's naked.
Our animal's naked.
they're not wearing shorts.
Well, in Madagascar, they wear clothes and stuff, so I don't know about that. But in our world today, they don't dress.
Right, but they have fur.
They are clothed, though.
Feathers,
yeah.
They are clothed.
Okay.
Yeah. And so,
what about sharks?
Which we're probably talking into a couple lessons ahead here for us to kind of think about it when we fell. We and clothed. And so it kind of gives us the mindset that, well, are you technically, if you're going to disobey me and just do whatever you want, and, you know, I'm going to clothe you and make you look like a beast. I mean, is that... Am I explaining that right? I
hear what you're saying. Very good thing, but can you hold that thought for lesson 9?
Yeah.
Are you reading ahead in your book? Is that why you get these things?
I mean, I do love studying the book. I mean, you have to.
God create. This is a perfect creation. Everything is perfect in Eden. We can't put our minds around what that would have been like. We can't fathom that. Lynn, I don't know if you've had that question before in class.
Oh, yeah, that's the idea of nakedness as being normal. And I want to just point something out. Culture, as culture declines, what are they trying to... What are the Kardashians trying to say about clothing?
Mm-hmm. That it's okay to wear little.
It's okay to wear nothing, Kevin, is what they're saying.
Yeah.
We should not be ashamed of our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the garden, in perfection, they weren't. They weren't.
Mm-hmm.
Until.
And so, you know, you have to bring your mind. You know, we don't know anything else.
Yeah, their minds are pure.
Their minds are pure.
Right.
And you know, it's yeah, and it would be no issues if the earth would have been populated before the fall, and there would have been no sexual temptations, there would have been nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been perfect.
Do you think that's part of Satan's plan with trying to create perfectness?
You're nailing something, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
You're nailing it right on. I'm going to alter it just a little bit. It's part of Satan's plan to invalidate what God has said by trying to make sin a non-issue.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And say, what God says is wrong is not a big deal.
Right.
We were born this way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you're on the right track.
Yep.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And God put this in, this particular verse in here, because he wanted us to see how creation was. God could have very easily said, and they were united in one in marriage. But he added that extra verse, that extra statement. And when you got to understand, when the Bible was written, there was no broken down verses. It was just all one thing. There wasn't chapter one, chapter two. We've done that. Man has created that and or made that into that so that it's easy to read and it broke it down. But if you were just to read this, as if God was speaking to the writer here of Genesis, and he says, this explains why a man has fallen or has leaves his father and mother and joins unto his wife. These two are united in one. And I want you to know now, man and his wife were both naked, and they had no shame. God wanted us to understand and see and have a picture of what it was like when he first created the universe and the world. That it was perfect. There was nothing there. God specifically put that in for us, part of his story, so that we can get a picture of what was his intent when he created everything. And that's very important as we go forward into lesson 8 next week and further on in through the Bible. Because God could have very easily left that out. But he wanted us to understand that. I'm going to turn this off, and that way if there's any other comments that so we don't.